Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell and I'm joined. It's his grand return, everybody. It's Randy. Andy.
I'm back after 312 weeks in quarantine, fighting off badgers and kicking oysters. That's what people do in quarantine, isn't it?
Those are two very different things.
Hey, you know, it's a hard life. It's a hard life in self-isolation. You got to get by any way you can.
Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about SmackDown and also that announcement of Braun Strowman being Roman Reigns' replacement. It was awful. Spoilers. Here's the show. This announcement for WrestleMania, because we have known for weeks now that Roman Reigns had opted to pull out of his WrestleMania Universal title match against Goldberg for fears over his health. Totally understandable. I think it was a good choice to make. But we've known that for weeks, but WWE have never officially announced anything. And it's even been public from Roman Reigns and even from Triple H himself in interviews. They both said that they've acknowledged that Roman Reigns is definitely out of this match. But on WWE programming, they've never announced anything. That was until they announced it on this episode of SmackDown. One day before WrestleMania, they announced that the match had changed, and they'd been teasing. Triple H said in an interview with Ariel Helwani on his ESPN show, he teased that the reason they hadn't addressed this whole Roman Reigns situation and why they hadn't acknowledged that he'd been pulled out of his match is because he didn't want to spoil the story, so to speak. Ooh. They had a unique story playing out. It's going to come out in a unique way. Yeah. That's a quote.
Yeah, I was going to say, so the quote is, Roman has his situation and his reasons for doing the things he's doing. But I will say from our standpoint, in the storyline standpoint, it's going to play out in a unique manner and we want it to play out that way. I don't want to give away the ending of the movie before the movie takes place. Everybody just has to watch and see how this unfolds. It will unfold in a unique way and I think it'll be meaningful for everybody. Hey, so Pete, what happened?
This unique way that he's talking about is Michael Cole on the commentary desk, segueing between two different segments, mentioned that it's Elias versus King Corbin still at Mania. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then just casually says to the side, it's Goldberg versus Braun Strowman. What? You can't just pretend that that's the match it's always been. You can't just pretend that Roman Reigns was never in this match. You can't not acknowledge the reason why he's pulled out of this match and just pretend that this is always the plan. And they've gotten away with it because they always say card subject to change. But this is the most blatant abuse of false advertising that they have done in quite some time. This is absolutely ridiculous. I could not believe it when I watched it on the show.
The thing is, most people will have seen by now that it wasn't going to be that match. But there would be a handful of people who don't really check social media, don't check news websites, who will still have thought, because all they do is watch SmackDown and Raw. And therefore, they'll have just been watching SmackDown saying, okay, it's going to be Roman. Oh, last week we got a segment between Roman and Goldberg. It's going to be Roman. This week, it's Braun Strowman, by the way, everyone. Yeah, Braun Strowman. No, it's Roman, isn't it? No, you Strowman. We've always been saying that. We've always been saying Strowman. It's never been Roman. I don't know where you've been getting that from. I mean, Braun was Intercontinental Champion. I mean, he's earned this. Yeah, it was. I mean, I guess it was a unique way because it was so dumb. I mean, even compared to Roman but Goldberg, which has had almost no build, this has had even less build. We've kind of known it was going to be Braun for about a week and a half. WrestleVotes teased it. Some people are like, oh, this could be really cool. It's like Beefcake against old man Beefcake. Young versus new beef. Aged beef versus new beef. I don't really want to see this match. I would have much preferred someone. I know Adam's gone for Goldberg to win, gone for Braun to win, but I think Goldberg should win and will win. And in that case, I feel like you could have put him against someone like the match he had against Dolph at SummerSlam or Survivor Series, where he just killed them because he can do that to a smaller guy. But I can't see how he's going to get Braun up for a jackhammer.
I don't know if he's going to try. It might just be like two or three spears and just not do a jackhammer at all.
Spear, and it might just be a suplex where he kind of does it and like folds immediately. I mean, the thing is, they've had a lot of attempts at it. They're going to do it until he gets it right, because it's pre-recorded. So they can, if you suddenly see a shot of the commentators, you know why. That's because they've had to re-record this thing until Braun actually get up for it.
If they cut to a shot of the crowd, is what you're saying. Yeah.
The thing is that the sooner it takes place in the match, the jackhammer, the better, because Goldberg's muscles will be less tired. Because as we saw against The Fiend, you couldn't even get Bray Wyatt up after 5 minutes of a match. So I don't know how he's going to get Braun, who's probably 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah, it's going to be something, all right, this match. I don't understand why they have like the perfect way to legitimately take someone out of a match and just put their hands up and just say, hey guys, Roman's withdrawn from the match for fears over his health. That is a perfectly reasonable, understandable excuse.
And for a company which has been trying to get Roman over for 412 years, have him cut a promo from home, say, guys, look, this is why I'm not going to be there. I'm really sorry. You remember what happened last year, but my immune system isn't what it used to be. I don't want to take any risks. That's a really babyface thing to do. That's like, okay, wow. Okay, this guy's a hero. He's withdrawn. He doesn't want to withdraw. He clearly doesn't, but he's had to because it's the only choice possible. So, I mean, it would have been such an easy way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, they did it perfectly in NXT when Tommaso Ciampa had to be withdrawn from his NXT TakeOver New York match for surgery. And they started doing all these video packages of him in rehab, him having his surgeries and what it meant to him, showing his family. Like, he was a heel at the time, but they turned him face through these incredible video packages that they put, showcasing how much he sacrificed to be in that ring and how much he has to work to be there and all the work he's got to do in order to come back at some point. Why wouldn't you do that for Roman? It's a perfect babyface move in a situation in the world that's so easy to root for people. Why do they choose the option that makes me resent them? Like, what is wrong with them?
Because
I want to like you, WWE. Please let me like you.
You don't need to bring him. You don't need to bring him to Performance Center. He lives in Florida, or he's from Pensacola. Just send one camera guy who you know hasn't got Steve, and then send him over. Do a three minute promo on his doorstep, and then that's it. That's all. That's all I would need from this. And then he goes. But do you know what? I've had some amazing battles with this guy in the past. I've chosen him as my replacement, or something like that. Braun Strowman will be facing Goldberg. Just that, and I go, right, I still don't want to see this match very much, but at least they've actually given a reason for it.
Right, and it would make, especially for someone of a more casual nature, who'd be the people who wouldn't know that Reigns are out of the match anyway, would probably be like, oh, an endorsement from Roman Reigns on Braun Strowman, that's so cool. Oh, he was the Intercontinental Champion not long ago, maybe he could do it. This would actually be quite interesting. Even just that minor little passing of the torch from Roman to Braun is a perfect way to set up this match. But they just canned it. They just moved it all to the side to just say, it's Braun. It's always been Braun. What are you talking about? I do not understand what they were thinking.
The fact that Triple H was like, there's going to be a unique way, it's going to play out the way we want it to play out, makes me think something was filmed. Something happened, something was pre-taped, which was a unique way of pulling him. He was attacked by someone. He fell off a stepladder and hurt his foot. I don't know, something happened. But it just feels like at the last minute, Vince went, I don't want that. Let's just announce it and hope people don't realize what's happened. Everyone knows anyway.
I think that's the optimistic route, because there was also a report from Cageside Seats at the time that said that WWE are looking to wait until the last minute to reveal any WrestleMania changes so they can maximize the number of people who haven't heard the news and would still think they would be watching Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. And this could even be shown in the episode itself, because this announcement was a throwaway side comment from Michael Cohen. You didn't even see him on the screen when he said it. This was a complete throwaway thing, hoping that people would miss it, still thinking that it's Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. And they did a tweet. They did a tweet to say that it's Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. All those people, it's Braun Strowman and Goldberg. All those people that are on Twitter already know that that's the match that's going to happen. So that damage has already been done. But for on the actual WWE program, they just skipped over it like it was nothing, when it's for your, supposedly, your biggest championship in the company.
If you had gone to the toilet and then come back, you might still think it's Roman Reigns.
Exactly.
That's how little attention they gave this thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely bonkers. I do not understand it. And as Ollie said in the edited review of SmackDown and the news today, it's genuinely unforgivable. Like actually unforgivable what they're doing. It's the most blatant, flagrant abuse of false advertising that I can remember in quite some time. Like, there's been some, like, that are very questionable, like Daniel Bryan's going to be at Crown Jewel, John Cena's in the Royal Rumble, etc. Yeah. But when this is about someone's health and you don't acknowledge it, and it's just Roman's not there, and you don't acknowledge all the crazy things that are happening in the world right now, and you just pretend that this was always the plan, that is just, awful.
They still haven't even mentioned that there's anything happening. Like, they've just said, oh, he's been pulled, or that's happening, or the situation in the world. They haven't mentioned that there's any kind of health issue at the moment.
No. And I can see why they'd initially want to do that. Why they want to be just like, you know what? Ignore all that stuff. Let's just focus on entertainment. Put smiles on people's faces. Fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. But at the very least, when there's situations like this that affect your programming, when there's things that have infiltrated beyond what your kayfabe world is and have actually affected the people behind the wrestlers, that's when you take a stand and that's when you say, let's acknowledge what's happened. Let's just, you know, nip it in the bud. Just say, this is what's going on. Break away from the entertainment for just a minute here. This is the real situation. Here's what we're going to be doing. Now back to your entertainment. Fine. That is perfectly okay. It would sympathize me to WWE. It would sympathize me to Roman Reigns. It would sympathize me to Braun Strowman. It would sympathize me to Goldberg. And that is a feat in and of itself. So there's everything. They had all the cards there, and then they just went, well, we need to put them on the table. No, and they just got rid of them all. They had it all there. It was all for them, and they just went, nah.
Yeah.
It's really, really annoyed me, which is such a shame, because I really enjoyed this episode of SmackDown, and I hated to start off on such, on such a negative tone. But the rest of this episode, I promise, will actually be quite positive, because I really enjoyed the rest of this episode.
It's amazing how 3 seconds can ruin, almost ruin 2 hours.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammer backers on Patreon. If you haven't gone over to WrestleTalk's Patreon yet, you get there's tons of bonus content to have at all sorts of tiers over there. If you just have at the $5 tier, you get access to the entire WrestleTalk Extra archive, where there's hours upon hours of Ollie and Luke reviewing all sorts of shows from wrestling history, which I'm sure you might need in this time of, isolation. Yes. If there's times of boredom, there's hours of content for you to have. We've been releasing some of them to the public feed every Monday as well, so you might have seen already what a WrestleTalk Extra podcast is like. There's loads more at the $5 tier. But if you pledge at the $25 and above dollar tiers, then you get your own custom wrestling name, which gets read out on a show like this. So thank you to Ryan B. Bad. Woo! And you get a cheap pop as well.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
Yeah, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr. Woo! Angry Arbel Zafiri. Woo! Yes.
Really angry. Very angry. Your best friend, Neon Palette.
Yay! Pal. Best friend.
I get it.
The Mountain, Matthew Dennis.
Woo! Oh, he's so big.
Thank you.
He's no jackass, Dano.
Absolutely not a jackass. Thank you, Dano. Rob Steiner Recliner.
Mm.
Woo, yes, thank you.
Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins, one of our friends.
That crisis is infinite. That's apt. Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Oh, what a great name, Pete.
One of my favorite names.
Bad Connection, Thomas Lagden.
That's been Datsun this whole episode. Marvelous, Mike Mack. Woo! Yeah. Thank you. That is marvelous.
And heroic Hector Mercado.
Woo! Thank you very much, everyone. Right?
But anyway, yeah, the rest of the show was nice. Yes. And I'm sure you're about to introduce it.
Absolutely, yes. It was a very solid go-home show. Maybe not WrestleMania go-home show worthy, but it built the matches very effectively. I'm looking forward to more matches than I was before the show started. And really, what more can you ask for?
Yeah. We got the return of Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, and that was amazing.
Yeah, how crazy is that? Yeah, so the show started off with supposedly Miz TV, which was a promo segment, because the Usos, the New Day, came out first. They cut a promo on each other, being like, let's go, Us, New Day rocks, they said. They cut a promo on each other saying they were going to win. Miz and Morrison came out and said, no, we're going to win.
We wear
turtlenecks, and we're really cool. And they said they have great strategy, so they climbed the ladders that were on the stage, which is poor strategy, because then the New Day and the Usos got out of the ring and just started attacking them, which, you know, it's great.
Ladder.
And then they... it's pretty good, actually. Then they started brawling. Everyone started going at it. Miz and Morrison stood tall at the end of it and climbed the ladders again, held their titles up and said, we're going to win, which is totally a match that's going to happen at the show. Speaking of false advertising.
Yes, I was going to say, the Roman thing was not the only piece of false advertising, because as we know from reports, and if you don't want to know the report, skip ahead a minute. It's not going to be that match, because what we're actually getting, because the Usos weren't too keen on wrestling, the Miz had to pull out because he wasn't feeling very well, and the New Day, I just don't think are there. But it's going to be John Morrison versus an Uso. We don't know which one. In a ladder match, I don't think anything's on the line, but it's just going to be a ladder match, which, to be honest, will probably be quite good.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a ladder match between two very high-flying athletic guys. Yeah. Totally. Probably going to be quite fun. I'd be shocked if the tag titles are on the line.
That would be strange.
That's going to happen.
Unless the Usos win it and then Miz comes back and go, oh, I was never in the match. You never won it from both of us. All that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think it would be silly to put them on the line, because just... I mean, I don't think we're going to get a lot of TV after this weekend. But when we come back, they can be a heel. Go, oh, we've held the title uncontested for 3 months because there haven't been any TV or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
the thing is as well, if they acknowledge what's going on and said, so instead we're going to have John Morrison versus Jimmy Uso in a ladder match, I'd be like, oh. That's really cool. And if they put the tag titles on the line, I'd be like, oh, that's actually really cool. It's like a unique, complete twist on it, but they're still keeping to what they promised. I'd be totally okay with it. Because they've not said anything about it, I'm just like, oh, no, it'd be weird if they put the tag titles on the line.
Let's say there was just some crazy bump that happened here. I don't know, one of the Usos and both the New Day were like, in between a ladder, and then someone did like a move on top of it, and they were like, they've all broken all of their ribs, they cannot compete this weekend. Again, it feels it's just sounds obvious when you say it, but clearly it was impossible to figure it out. I mean, I know they're on a really tight schedule and all that sort of thing,
but they have time. They have a lot of really competent video editors. They have people who can do promo segments. They have all sorts of ways of getting around this stuff. They're just choosing not to, which is the worst thing. But again, I know that sounded pretty negative. I like this segment. It's just a shame it's building for a match that won't happen. Mm-hmm. After that, we got another segment that I didn't think I was going to like, but I actually ended up quite enjoying, which was a triple threat match between Naomi, Lacey Evans, and Tamina, with Bayley and Sasha Banks on commentary. This match and this whole segment really was just kind of there to put over Tamina as a legit threat, which she isn't. And there's a couple of weeks of good, solid booking for Tamina that doesn't quite write out the 10 years of bad booking before it, but it's a start, I guess.
Hey, nobody is meaner than Tamina. I mean, out came...
You're very right.
Yeah, Naomi came out with wings, so you can feel the crow. And then Tamina comes out to probably her biggest reaction ever. Michael Cole said, it's Tamina. And that is a tumultuous applause compared to the most of her career. So
yeah, high praise.
My notes are, I wonder if she's going to super kick someone in this match. Because that is her... I mean, there are some people with a limited moveset like Jinder and stuff, but she has... Mm-hmm. She can do a super kick, a headbutt, and a Samoan drop.
Yes.
And she usually botches a Samoan drop.
Yeah.
It was a perfectly good match. Sorry, there's a cat outside. I just got distracted.
You're very distracted by a cat, yeah.
And, yeah, so... It was a good match. And you had Sasha Banks and Bayley on commentary, which I really liked because they were kind mm-hmm. of being chummy. Sasha Banks tries to interfere, gets kicked by Naomi. And I thought it's interesting because Bayley doesn't make any attempt to go and help her. She's mm-hmm. just like, oh, well, I'll stay here. So I thought that was a nice little bit of character building. Well, I do think we're going to get one of them turning on the other this weekend. So, yeah. It's mm-hmm. It was a nice little build. I don't think anyone's kidding themselves to think Tamina's actually going to win.
No.
Because she's Tamina. She's there because Dana Brooke was ill and Carmella's ill.
Carmella
wasn't ill, but she's just decided to self-isolate. Mm-hmm. She's a placeholder and she's a bit bigger than the other people. So she's got this kind of threat. That they like to say, look, she's a bit bigger than them, that other person, therefore she must be threatening.
Who could possibly eliminate the Big Show?
Exactly.
I liked that they're starting to treat Tamina like a threat. It makes it feel a bit more like it's rather than four people and Tamina, it's kind of a five-way match now, which I enjoy. Mm. I really liked the Banks and Bayley on commentary, especially because there was little teasers through the little things they were saying. It was like, I think Michael Cole was saying something like, what would it be if you had, you guys are like peanut butter and jelly, but what would it be if you just had one of them? And I think Bayley was like, oh no, that'd be rubbish. And Sasha Banks was like, oh, I think it'd be great. It's like,
oh. Yeah, well, there was one point where Sasha Banks said, what time is it? And then Michael Cole said, it's boss time. And I hated that.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That was a low point of this match. Tamina gets the win after Bayley causes a distraction. She comes in and distracts Naomi. Naomi gets super kicked. Tamina wins. Bayley and Banks separately both try and make peace offerings with Tamina, which both end terribly. One gets super kicked, one gets Samoan dropped, and Tamina stands tall to end the segment, which again is cool to put over Tamina. I really like the tension between Banks and Bayley. I'm looking more forward to this match than I was before the match started. So,
yeah.
Thumbs up for that.
Absolutely.
After that, we see Tucker backstage getting warmed up for his match later using the old resistance bands. Mm-hmm. As he's standing there, though, the glitches that have been plaguing SmackDown for months start playing again. This time, though, it has those normal glitches, and then text appears on the screen that just says, "The truth will be heard," which is very ominous. And then Mandy Rose walks into shot, and then it cuts. It's like, well, I'm sure they didn't say anything of importance. But then after that, we get the retro match of choice for this week. And all the matches that they've done in the past have linked in some way to something, some sort of programming that they've got going on. It would be, you know, Bray Wyatt versus John Cena from WrestleMania 30. They had Roman Reigns versus Triple H from WrestleMania 32. This one was Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 24.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it?
Reasons.
Because Charlotte Flair is wrestling this weekend and she's going to retire because Rhea Ripley's going to say, I'm sorry, I love you, and kick her.
Yep. So I guess this was more of a promotion for WrestleMania as a whole,
we have had good matches before.
Yeah, exactly. Look, emotions. You remember those
what
things.
A crowd looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get why they picked that match at all, but whatever. Then we get the announcement of Braun Strowman being inserted in the match after a quick recap of the Elias King Corbin stuff and Michael Cole saying it's still Elias versus King Corbin, but one has to question how well Elias is, which means it's probably the Gronk stepping in, or Mojo Rawley, or both.
Well, there was a report which said Gronk was going to be doing something that
Unexpected,
I think,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Brian Alvarez was like, oh yeah, he does something. I think it was Brian Alvarez. I might be wrong. But
oh, Dave Meltzer. Like, I think it was one of the two.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be doing something unexpectedly good or...
Yeah, or I think something that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Which means he's turning heel on Mojo Rawley. After that, we have Tucker and Otis backstage. Tucker comes in and says that Mandy asked about him, but he thinks she was just being nice. And then Otis gets a text on his phone and goes, oh, yes, and then walks off.
Walks off, yeah.
And then Tucker's like, wait, why I have a match? Like, now, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'll be there. He wasn't there. Spoilers.
He wasn't there.
But yeah, so then it was that match. It was Tucker versus Dolph Ziggler, but with no Otis. Mm. I thought that this match was really good for a couple of reasons. I thought Tucker's facial expressions through the match was great. He just wanted to hurt the guy that has hurt his friend. And I think at various points through it, he put in a really valiant showing and he was hitting like side stands and stuff. He threw Dolph Ziggler into the steps. And while he was doing it, he was like, I am angry. You have hurt my friend, which I thought was really cool. Didn't like the finish, though, because no. It was he threw Dolph Ziggler into the steps. And that's not a DQ. Not a DQ. Very important. And then the top half of the steps, Tucker kicks off, which I thought was a cool thing. He was like, oh, I'm angry. I'm going to kick the top half of the steps off. And then as he's standing there, Dolph Ziggler gets up, hits a zigzag onto the bottom half of the steps, and that's a DQ.
That's a DQ, yeah. So here's my bugbear with the Tucker thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got Big Cass syndrome, where he is in a tag team with someone who is not as good a worker in the ring. I know Otis is like his moveset's more over, but he's definitely not as good a worker.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so much more charismatic than Tucker that when they split apart, and I fully expect them to split apart because I think they're going to get carried away with Otis and then Tucker's going to get annoyed and attack Otis. I can just see Tucker becoming big man who people beat. Because that's what Big Cass became. And then he got released quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I really worry for Tucker just because we've seen this kind of dynamic before in a tag team with big guy, charismatic guy. They split up. Charismatic guy keeps getting pushed even though he's not as good in the ring. And big guy just kind of fades into nothing.
Yeah, so. It would be a travesty if they split the team up because I think they complement each other so well in terms of their styles of charisma and in terms of in-ring stuff because Tucker doing the actual work, building to an Otis hot tag allows Otis to just do the big moves that are really over without that becoming stale really, really quickly. So yeah, it would not be smart to split them up, but I completely agree with you.
They've proven the last few years that just keeping a tag team together for several years does work. You've got the New Day who people keep saying, oh, they're going to split up. They never have, and they
never
don't
have
to. The Usos, for obvious reasons, don't split up. It's fine to keep a tag team together, which has always been a tag team, because there's a difference between a actual tag team and then just putting, like, I don't know, Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler together. They were always going to break up.
Yeah,
as they did last year. But if I think that's why
people are so insistent on the New Day breaking up because they were three dudes who came together.
Yeah,
but I think that the New Day is better than the sum of its parts, in my humble opinion. I think all three of them are really, really great, and I think all three of them deserve singles pushes on their own, but still keep them as part of the New Day because I think the formation of the three of them together is just fantastic. It's much better than. You know, I think Big E's 5-count gimmick, it was much better than Kofi being Jamaican, and it was much better than whatever Xavier Woods was doing beforehand, being part of the Funkasaurus team. He got introduced by Brodus Clay. Nope. I don't know. I think he was with the Funkadactyls at some point. Mm. It was with R-Truth. That's when Xavier Woods debuted, was R-Truth introduced him, and he came out with the Funkadactyls or something like that. It was super weird. Anyway, he's much better now. Yeah. But then after this is when the big reveal happens. After that, Dolph Ziggler looks like he's going to crush Tucker underneath. He grabs the top half of the stairs and looks like he's going to slam it down onto Tucker, who's still laying on the bottom half of the steps, which I thought is a cool visual, just him standing above him with the top half of the stairs. But Mandy and Sonya come out and call him off and be like, Dolph, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Otis then runs out and checks on Tucker. Dolph kind of scampers away to the other side of the ring. But that's when the glitches start again. The truth will be heard. And it cuts to... Okay, I'm going to get the negatives out of the way first, because I did like this reveal.
Mm.
This guy is a shadowy figure. Thumbs up. Hood up. Thumbs up. Cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
His back, he's got loads of screens around him and like this hacker desk thing. He's got the, you know, the lights that we've been seeing with the multiple lights in the ring.
Yeah.
Cool. That's like his symbol now, I guess. Cool. Why does he have like the Matrix on one of the screens? It was a bit weird.
It's coding.
It's coding.
It's the binary numbers and stuff.
It was
a bit goofy. It was very, what does a hacker look like?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, screens and stuff. You might as well just had a name plaque which said Mr. Hacker. it was just, I don't know, it was just lots of screens that no one human could possibly look at all the time. But
yeah,
there you go. And also, the length to which he's gone is to get, like, find out that someone sent a text. That's not really hacker material. I reckon I could have figured that one out without 400 screens.
Well, we'll get to the actual reveal and then I'll say what I think of it, because the hacker man says in a distorted voice, you can't tell who's talking, just says, were you paying attention? I told you the truth will be heard. He turns around in his chair and presses play with really exaggerated movements and play. And then it has the really comical rewind sound effect.
Yeah.
When it's that. And it plays security footage revealing that Sonya Deville and Dolph Ziggler have been planning this whole thing the whole time, which is great. I'm glad they didn't do a stupid swerve and just be like, it was Tucker or something stupid like that. They kept to what the story that actually makes sense. And they said that, you know, Sonya sent the texts off Mandy's phone and then deleted them afterwards so Mandy couldn't see them. She planned the whole thing with Dolph to sabotage the date, etc. And then it cuts back to the ring and Sonya's like, uh-oh, Mandy, sorry!
Mandy's like, oh my god, what's doing? So mean.
Yeah. And then Sonya's like, I would never do anything to hurt you. And then Mandy's like, ha, I'm gonna leave. And then she walked out.
Video. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
She walks out.
Yeah, and then it's good. It's good that it's kind of got the right ending, I guess. I guess this means the end of Fire and Desire. Oh no. And it kind of adds a bit of fuel to tomorrow's or Sunday's match. I'm assuming that now means that Mandy's going to be in Otis's corner.
I wouldn't think so, because I don't think she's fully like grasped the whole Otis standing her up thing. I don't think she's quite got her head around it yet. So I think she's not going to be in his corner for the match, but she will be involved in the match in some way. And I'm still sticking with my prediction. Her and Otis are going to kiss middle of the ring after Otis beats Dolph Ziggler. It's going to happen. Calling it now. So the hacker reveal was good. I liked that it made sense. Very curious, though. Who is the hacker man?
It's because
I'm quite worried that we'll never find out. This will be who threw the pie
Raw
at Kevin
General
Owens.
Manager.
This will be the Raw General Manager, and we'll never know who this person is. It's just a person. It was a figure to make the story happen rather than doing that. I am worried that that's going to happen. Mm. I hope that's not the case, and I'm hoping that there's more things that the hacker man can do or more truths he's going to uncover in the WWE or something. I don't know, but some sort of story surrounding him would be cool moving forwards. I hope it's not just a plot device, basically.
Yeah, I do still think it's supposed to be Mustafa Ali, because I can't see why they'd be doing that like ring of lights if it wasn't him. Mm. And there was, I think, one of our website guys, he sort of said, well, Mustafa Ali used to be a policeman. He could use that, like, oh, well, I used my time in the police to, I don't know why he's suddenly from Essex, but I used my time in the police to learn how to hack into people, and I want to change things, how things are run around here. He could be the new big boss man. I think it's Mustafa Ali, but I'm more than willing to accept that what you said, it's never going to be revealed. And it's just going to be some guy who's sorting out like teenage girl problems. Like, oh, you texted me. Like, I'm on the case. It's like the worst superhero ever who just like figures out who was cheating on who.
And his name is Hackman.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm really quite excited for Otis Dolph Ziggler. I thought this was a great payoff to the story. Really looking forward to their match to see what happens. I'm pumped. After that, we got Daniel Bryan versus Shinsuke Nakamura ahead of Bryan's Intercontinental Championship match against Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. I thought this was a really good match. Again, didn't like the finish just because Cesaro caused the DQ when it looked like Bryan was going to win. I thought it would have been fine if Dolph Ziggler beat Tucker, and I thought it would have been fine if Daniel Bryan beat Shinsuke. I don't see why you couldn't have those two matches just finish properly. But regardless, I thought it was a really good match because it's Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura. How could it be a bad match? And then afterwards, Sami Zayn and Cesaro and Shinsuke just beat down Gulak and Bryan, and they hit all three of their finishers on Bryan. There's a neutralizer, Kinshasa, Helluva kick to finish it off. I thought it was great. Three of them Satul. I'm really, really looking forward to their match. I hope it gets a lot of time.
Yes.
Thumbs up.
I hope it's most of it is just a singles match and not just everyone trying to jump in the ring.
I hope everyone gets ejected, so it's just Bryan and Sammy. That'd be great. Yeah,
that would be lovely. Because those two could put on one helluva match.
Hey, there it is.
Thank you very much. This could be one of the matches of the night as long as it's given time.
Yes, exactly. And then the final segment for the night, was a John Cena promo. He came out and cut what I thought was a fantastic promo, proving that he doesn't really need the crowd to bounce off because he can just say the words really well.
It started, I felt like a bit like an advert. And then it turned into an actual promo. It was kind of like going, oh, we're in the final minutes for Mania. It's going to be something you've never seen before. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. But then he's like, yeah, so the Fiend loves uncertainty and fear leads to panic. Panic leads to collapse. Everyone's asking, what's going to happen next? I will squash Bray Wyatt and finish what I started 6 years ago. He's just a bootleg Mr. Rogers, and I will expose him as an embarrassment. I thought this was really cool, and it made me want the Fiend to win even more.
Totally, yeah. I think that was the biggest thing, is Cena isn't turning heel, but he's going into that kind of that side of the fan base that already don't like John Cena.
Yeah.
He's leaning into that to just be like, here's why you shouldn't like me even more. And here's why you should want the Fiend to win that little bit more, which I'm really enjoying. I thought it was a great promo.
It worked because you've got the Fiend who he's been damaged, but he's still over and he's still got a really big, like, loyal fan base. But he's still seen as this kind of evil character who does the wrong thing. So Cena's got the perfect balance of, yeah, he's still fighting against this evil guy. So that's babyface, but then he's kind of acting the heel towards the people, as you said, the people who don't like him. Mm. So he doesn't lose anything in this. In fact, he just makes him look even better. Yeah. And then out come the puppets.
Yes, all the puppets come out, all the dolls come out and start surrounding the ring. And this is where I thought this promo got even better, was because I think they leaned into not having a crowd, and I'm always a big, I've said on previous podcast episodes, I'm a big proponent of them experimenting with the way they do their shows, not having a live crowd, meaning they can try different things. And this was another example of that. The puppets start popping up all around the ring, saying that they're going to play with Cena forever inside the Funhouse and all that stuff. Of course, Cena accepted the Firefly Funhouse match, which we didn't mention, but that was a given. They all say, yeah, they're going to play with Cena forever. The Fiend then appears in that kind of crow's nest perch thing that they've got on the side. And he stares down in the ring at Cena. And then they have these sound effects coming in, and these like hard cuts and very quick cuts, and these like this atmospheric, like in a horror movie, they've got these like atmospheric ringing noises that build and build and build and build and build until they have a jump scare of regular Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt, appearing in the ring behind John Cena going, let me in, and then he leaves.
It was so goofy, but I really liked it. I was like,
right?
Okay, that's pretty cool. Because it was I just saw, oh, the Fiend's over there. That's how it's going to end. Oh, okay. Oh, cool. That's fun. And then it
exactly.
Just ended. So I was like, oh, that's nice. I think they're going to be doing a lot of that in their match. I mean, the report is going to be massively edited and very kind of movie. So yeah, it's going to be either really corny or really good.
Yeah. And so. I think this segment put over kind of how weird the Firefly Funhouse match is going to be. It's going to be kind of weird and wacky, and it might be kind of horror themed as well. There's been obviously a ton of horror influences in the Fiend character as a whole. This segment kind of proved that, built upon it, and I think teleportation is dumb. Just going to say that. Teleportation is really stupid. But I love the fact that they're trying something new, they're trying something different with The Fiend, and they're trying something different with this whole match as a whole, giving it the cinematic experience and making sure that Bray Wyatt has something unique going for him. And I really appreciated that in this segment. And like you said, it was super goofy, but I loved it.
And it backs up the WrestleTalk.com exclusive that it's going to be The Fiend and Bray Wyatt wrestling in the same match, because they've already shown that like the two can exist at the same time. So I think there's going to be a lot of kind of camera trickery. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. And I mean, as you said, there's lots of horror influences and things like that. And if you want to find out exactly where The Fiend came from, Pete, what should they do?
They should go over to Parts Fun Node, and they should check out the Explain series from Laurie Blake, because it is genuinely a fantastic video. But Laurie had the chance to sit down with Kyle Scarborough, who's the guy who actually sketched the original designs for the Fiend mask, the Fiend lantern, things like that, who then, you know, been taken away by Tom Savini's team that actually got made. It's a really fascinating deep dive on where the Fiend came from, what his influences are, and how it actually came about. It's genuinely, and I know I'm just saying this, and I'm not just saying this because it is a Parts Fun Known video, it's genuinely a really interesting deep dive into the Fiend and the character, and I love it. Great job from Laurie. Absolutely. Please go and watch it. It's great. But overall, the show I thought was pretty good. I thought it was a really solid build for WrestleMania. Like I said at the top of the show, I'm more excited for these matches than I was before. So thumbs up for that. That's what a go home show should do. I guess I'm more looking forward to it later. The thing is, with that whole Braun thing, though, I can't rate it higher than Smack Bang in the Middle. I cannot rate it higher than 3 out of 5, because that is just awful. 3 out of 5.
Also because there was sort of 20 minutes of a match I'd already seen, and I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever, but I'm not going to watch it again, so you just skip past it, don't you?
Exactly,
3 out of 5. So this weekend's going to be interesting.
It is going to be very interesting indeed. It's, well, you say this weekend, tonight and tomorrow is going to be very interesting. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be weird. We're on the cusp of history, Datsun. The weirdest WrestleMania in history. So, Datsun, you have finally returned to the SmackDown podcast after a long old time. It was, a couple of weeks. But now you have a microphone that works and is good quality.
I have a microphone that worked and it's good quality. I have ordered parts, so I have I have got a microphone and I've got a microphone stand and I've got a cable, but what I need is the adapter to plug into my laptop, which Amazon, I've ordered on Amazon Prime, but Amazon told me yesterday that for obvious reasons, deliveries are being delayed. So unfortunately it didn't arrive, but luckily, my next door neighbor, the person who lives below me, in my flat, is a music producer and therefore has lots of microphones. Don't worry. It's been sterilized. careful not to handle it, at the same time. So I've been very safe. So don't worry, everyone. I know you've been worrying about me a lot.
People have actually. People have been asking, "Where's Datsun?"
Yeah. Well, no, it was just the lack of microphone. I wasn't sacked. I promise. At least I don't think I was. If I was, I got rehired very quickly.
Totally. Yeah. So who says you've been rehired?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'm just.
Maybe you're just here.
I'm not even being paid for this.
No, you're just here out of the goodness of your heart.
Exactly. But yes, no, so I'm here. I'll be here for the foreseeable future as well. But I suppose that depends on whether there's actually going to be a SmackDown.
That's true, yeah. It might not be anything after this. I'm pretty sure everyone else on the podcast has spoken about it at this point. But how are you finding the whole working from home deal?
Well, Pete, I hate it.
Yeah, I know.
I am not good at working from home. I never have been. I struggle with the lack of human interaction. I find that I need it to help me focus better. So when there's no one here, and because my flatmate is now living with his family during quarantine, it's just me in a flat. So it can get a bit lonely.
Yeah,
it can get a bit lonely. But it's nice because we do our daily calls, and I have people to speak to, and I have people to game with. So it's not like I have no one to speak to. But you know, it's one of those things we've all got to get through. Everyone's got their own coping mechanisms.
For sure.
If you will, Ospreay, you throw yourself down the stairs. I sound like I'm crying. I'm not. I've befriended the next door neighbor's cat, who I hang out with on my door.
That's a big success already.
Yeah, I know, exactly. He is called Ralph, and he's very friendly, and I sometimes give him snacks.
Is he actually called Ralph, or did you just name
him? I heard someone call him Ralph. So I'm assuming that's what he's called. But
what if that was a name that they just given him? Already a fake name?
Well, because it was the owner.
It's a fake name?
The owner's just giving him a fake name. Yeah, I suppose so. He's very nice. He sometimes comes to my front door and we just sit there. I don't let him in because I don't want him to think I've actually adopted him. But I'm worried. Look, I don't think they can hear me, but I don't think they're treating him very well because he is basically skin and bones.
Oof, that's not good.
So either he's ill or they're not feeding him. So I'm giving him like little snacks here. And I don't want to overfeed him because I don't want to, like, I don't know if he's on medication. I don't want to make things worse. I've just given him some like little nibbles here and there. Just because it makes him come back to my house, and I'd like to.
And you have company.
Exactly. Yeah. He is the one creature who I've spoken to in person regularly over the last few weeks.
So you're coping pretty well then?
Oh, absolutely.
From what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. I've downloaded lots of games on Steam.
Porn.
I've downloaded lots of porn.
Yeah.
It's red raw down there. I'm not sure how much more I can watch, to be honest. It's getting pretty bad, Pete. It is. Yeah. I might just have to like cut it off.
Yep. Speaking of things that were red, we red did raw. Quizlemania not too long ago, a couple days ago, and which you won.
I did win, and I don't think I'll ever win again. Frankly,
no.
I believe I am on next week's one. If we're planning,
we've not announced that we're redoing Jackson.
I said if we're planning to do another one, not next week.
Well, maybe I just spoiled it too.
Pete, I hope we do a quiz at some point.
I hope we redo Quizlemania sometime. I don't know when we're going to do another one,
but. It was good to be on it. I was only there because Laurie was editing.
Replacement's got a win though. WWE mentality.
I would like to make it quite clear to everyone that I was not cheating.
I hadn't even brought it up, mate.
I know, but people have been bringing it up. My dear lady partner was messaging me, and she's actually sitting here, so she would be quite able to walk over and explain that she texted me. She's not going to, she texted me on WhatsApp saying, because she knew I was on the stream, I think she said, and I quote, meow.
It's a solid text.
Exactly. And I was replying to her saying, oh, it's overrun a bit. I'll probably be finished in about half an hour. But that was just as Adam had asked a question. And so I'm sitting there look with my hands going away, like on WhatsApp web, and people are going, what's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah. So, but honestly, I the thing was, I really don't care enough to cheat in a quiz with my friends.
Apparently not. But that wasn't the only time you cheated this week now, was it, Datsun?
See, again, the same thing, or pretty much the same thing happened. So yesterday we did a quiz. So Ollie did a quiz for us on our kind of work.
It's called Enforced Fun.
Enforced Fun. Yeah. And this was more general knowledge and stuff like that, which happens to be like, because I do a lot of quizzes in my spare time, and I do a lot of like pub quizzes in sort of as a hobby. So it's something that I feel like I'm quite good at. And yeah, I won it by like 2 points. But again, during the final round, I had a picture of an Indian cricketer next to me. And in the reflection...
Yeah, this is going to take a little bit of explaining.
In the reflection, Michelle, so Pete's girlfriend, saw me change tab.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ollie said, oh, it looked like, what was it? Bird box?
Letterbox.
I don't even know what letterbox is.
Because the round was, it was, if anyone here has seen Quizlemania, the final round we did, the survival round, where you go backwards in chronological order of naming something, and you just go until the last person's left. If you get it wrong, you're out of the game. This one was MCU movies in reverse chronological order, starting with the most recent working backwards.
Being Iron Man?
Yep, totally. And it looked like, from the reflection of the picture from Datsun's webcam, it looked like he was on some sort of site like Letterboxd, where you could see all the MCU movies. That's exactly what it looked like.
I honestly have never heard of Letterboxd as a website. I genuinely don't know what Letterboxd is. And I'm so,
it's
yeah,
just
I,
where
I,
people leave their own reviews and
yeah,
stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that it looked that way. Again, I really don't care that much. There was nothing at stake in this quiz.
I know. But, other than your own pride.
Well, I don't have any. But like, okay. The thing was, you were all going, you're cheating. And Luke goes, Andy, why are you being so defensive? And I was like, because you're all telling me that I'm just... well, you sit there and go, no, not me. But to get away from this issue, I am now going to be doing a quiz next week.
So you can't cheat.
So I can't cheat, although I will know all the answers in advance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pete, I'm going to be doing a sports round.
I hate you.
Although, do you know what I'm going to be doing? I'll give you a bit of a tease. I'm going to be doing easy sports round. Literally, the questions are going to be something like, name a football team that wears red.
Right, okay.
Or name a tennis player that isn't Roger Federer. That's
right.
Thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to, so people like Luke can feel that they know something about sport.
Well, considering that I have a degree in coaching and sports science, you'd think I know more about sport. But funny that since I've got my degree, I've not really done anything about sport since.
No.
So,
but I will be doing. I will be doing this week's quiz to avoid any accusations. Because once again, I couldn't care less about winning or losing. I'm really not that guy who goes, oh well, this quiz between my friends, I gotta win, because otherwise what will they think of me?
Otherwise I'll look stupid like me.
Yeah, exactly.
who got like what, 12 points by the end of
like
it?
a third of my points.
No, yeah,
it's one of those things though, because those kind of quizzes, if you don't do that sort of quiz, if you're not that bothered about doing quizzes like that, you're not going to do very well because you're just not that bothered. But if it had been a quiz about pop culture or like movies or, I don't know, nerd culture, geek culture, I would have lost that so easily. You and the rest of them, it would have been me on 3 points and you and the rest of them on 50 points.
Yeah. Turn around miraculously in that MCU round, though, for someone who supposedly doesn't know anything about the MCU.
I watched... before Endgame, I watched a 45-minute video from Looper, I think it is, which did every movie in order.
Right.
There were a couple that I guess that there were, because there were a couple which I knew were sort of in the right area. But then because other people named the ones that I was kind of tossing up between, I was kind of like, okay, well, it's probably that one. There were some I got really lucky on, and there were also some which were kind of like, it makes sense for it to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
That they would say, like, for example, you'd go through and then they'd go, oh, well, it was Ant-Man versus blah, blah. And I'd go, well, in that case, I think they're pretty sure that came out just after this. Because you see it on, like, the DAS internets. And because I have, I do work in an office of people who are obsessed with the MCU, I kind of, it does rub off. I was quite lucky as well because I kept getting, like, the last one in the phase. Like, at the end, it was kind of like The Incredible Hulk. And I was like, well, it has to be Iron Man.
Well, it's Iron Man, yeah.
That's the only film left. And then because we drew on that, because I was up against Luke and Laurie, who know the MCU very well, then we did British Prime Ministers, and then we all screwed up immediately. Because we know up to Margaret Thatcher, and because I've watched The Iron Lady, I knew the one after that. But after that, no one knew any of them.
It was a scene, is what it was.
Yes.
But yeah, overall, it was very fun. I'm looking forward to your quiz. I'm curious to see what kind of rounds you're going to include. Because I get the feeling that you're going to have some questions that you'll be like, well, everyone knows that. And all of us will be like, no one knows that, that's it.
See, I'm going to try and make it. So one of my ideas, and I'm going to run this by you now, was to ask everyone for a specialist subject.
Okay.
And something that they think that they know very well.
Okay.
And then I just do, like, this is Pete's round, and then you've got to try and then that's your specialist subject, but people can try and sort of chip in with their own answers as well. So everyone gets like their specialist subject, but then you can try and like get extra points from that.
So it's like Mastermind.
Exactly, but you're all answering all the same questions.
So you have like one round for each of us. And each of those rounds will be someone's specialist subject.
Yeah, so like Ollie goes, oh, well, my specialist subject is, I don't know, Transformers.
Mm.
There are some of you who won't know anything about that. And then there are like a few who know a bit about it and sort of like that. And then you'll be like, oh, my specialist subject is Dungeons and Dragons. And I'll be like, crap, now I have to think of 10 questions about Dungeons and Dragons. That's just an idea. It might be a bit convoluted because there might be like Luke might go, well, my specialist subject is a TV show that someone else has also watched. I'll have a think, but I'm definitely going to do a...
Well, you know what Luke would do, though? Because he'd quite clearly be like, my specialist subject is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toy range from 1987 to 1992, specifically. And luckily, then you'd have to come up with questions about that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm gonna have a think, but I've got Monday off. I'll probably write the quiz on Monday.
Hell yeah, dude.
So
I'm excited. Probably all the time we've got for this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you everyone for listening. Stay tuned to the WrestleTalk podcast. We've got lots of content coming your way. We've got reviews of WrestleMania. If you're not familiar with our YouTube channel, we've got Indie Mania coming today and tomorrow, which is a 3-hour live stream Saturday and Sunday, featuring some of the best matches from indie promotions all over the world to help raise funds for them so we can help them out in this time of need. There's going to be some huge names as part of the stream, people like Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Matt Riddle, Pete Dunne, Walter, people like that. So some awesome, awesome matches that are going to be showcased to help these promotions out because they need it. And we're going to have, of course, lots of content on the podcast feed as well. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Love you all. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands. And I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.